I've had a chance to mentor several companies at Future Founders. Two or three of them out of like the 10 are in the drone space. And I've always sort of wondered one main question, which is why are they always confined to inside of a manufacturing plant or some sort of farm? I mean, I get it. It's a great space. I get the potential and the ability and all of the growth that drones are in. But one of the areas that in particularly I at least feel like is the biggest big picture idea is in the cities, whether it's delivery, whether it's capturing surveillance, whether it's using the data in some sort of usable, meaningful way. And I've come to find out from, you know, several conversations as to why you've limited yourself to this one spot. It is the management and like following the laws of like how close you can be to an airport, how close you can be to certain areas of downtown, managing just anything that you would imagine in air traffic is such an expensive and cumbersome process that for early stage founders just trying to figure out how to get the tech where the drone is probably, I guess, the most paramount. But I do think that there's a lot to be said here. So I'm going to have a conversation with Suzanne L. Morrissey, the president of Uplift. And I think she will be able to lend a hand on helping you guys figure out maybe a better way to do this, if that can be said that way. Suzanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So I kind of, you know, got things started talking a little bit about the fact that we have a lot of startup companies that are trying to get in the drone space. Makes sense. Totally get it. I love drone in the media space. I think it brings an element that's crazy. But where I really see the drone potential is for those who are building drone technology and drone use cases for larger, already established companies to knock the bottom line a little bit, to capture better data, to do a lot of things. In order for that to work, there's one major piece that is missing, and you guys fulfill that piece, which is the platform and the ability to actually build a turnkey solution for either the startup to get started to build upon or for the big business to implement this new technology. Tell us a little bit about what Uplift does, and then let's get into sort of like how you got into this, kind of your background, and some of the things that maybe people don't know about getting in the drone space.
Sure, absolutely. So at Uplift Data Partners, we focus on what we call the first mile, and that is essentially everything.
Nice to play on words. The last mile, the first mile.
The first mile. Everything to get the drone in the air. And when we think about what are all of those requirements, they come around airspace clearance, which, as we know, in the United States, the national airspace is regulated, owned by the United States government.
Who's currently on holiday.
I was currently on holiday. That's correct. So we have to abide by the FAA regulations, and they set the rules. Now, since we're talking about laws, two things to know right off the bat in that first mile is you can't fly beyond visual line of sight, and also you can't fly over people.
Who defines line of sight? Like, what if I'm so if I'm Amazon and I own like half the country, can I lend my line of sight to a fellow colleague?
FAA.
So we got to talk to the FAA on this. Our friends at the FAA.
Yeah, so the United States in general, if you look at all the other countries around the world, Australia, Canada, the United Kingdom, our regulators are kind of the first and probably the most stringent in these regulations. And August 29th of 2016, they relaxed the rules a bit. And the lawmic was Part 107. And what this triggered is for industry to begin thinking about drone adoption in their business operations, which is, you know, kind of what you're highlighting here. And so Uplift Data Partners is that B2B turnkey platform that allows for companies or the data processing platforms to get access to a distributed network of commercially trained, insured pilots across the country. And so it helps with scale. And that's one of the number one issues with companies, you know, after you think about the FAA and making sure that you are flying legally. So a compliant legal flight is number one. The ability to do this with the same rinse and repeatability and quality and capture the data is the second challenge for enterprise clients. Because if you think about it from a construction company's perspective or a real estate or an insurance company, they're doing their portfolio of work and their portfolio of business is all over the country, if not obviously all over the world. So what they need to do is get it down to a science, the quality and the caliber of the pilot, the insurance of the caliber, the hardware that's used, the actual mapping of the flight and doing the data capture and the upload. All of that is part of that first mile. And that's what we focus on. And by that way, we become a partner to either a company that is outside from a traditional industry or a drone company that needs someone to basically fly, capture the information, and pass it on.
Because that's awesome, and it's a great, I think it's going to be a great company well into the future with this. But one of the things that I look at, you talk about enterprise clients. I look at enterprise clients, and I think, if drone is like any other adoption of new high tech that comes their way, there's this initial thought of like, man, how cool would this be? And then somebody turns the page and sees the regulations like the back of an Office Depot receipt. Is it just some spoiling out forever and ever? And it's like, well, maybe not. Mm-hmm. And then the other ones are the unfortunate few who believe wholeheartedly in apology versus asking permission. Yeah. And they do this and then get slapped across the face. Mm-hmm. Where are you seeing the most, I don't want to say use case because I think it's kind of obvious, but like where do you see the entry point for most of these enterprise clients to you? Like, what's the first thing they're asking you? Like, what do we do?
That's right. So if we look at the construction industry, which is what we were born out of, we were born out of a seed investment from Treehouse Ventures, which is the venture arm of a basically $2 billion design build construction company called Clayco here in the city. The scenario of use was fly on a daily basis or a weekly basis and capture media, which is basically raw data and video, of the construction site itself. And why is that important? So owners like Amazon or a Facebook, now, especially if they're so forward-thinking, and technology companies specifically, they want to see a complete aerial view of the project.
Yeah.
It allows them to see the progress, change detection, and so forth. So the scenario started from a better way for us to get an understanding and appreciation of how the project's going. Now, that is for, you can think of it as a scenario really just myself as the GC reporting to you as the person who commissioned or the entity that commissioned the project. But the GC itself and the engineering companies, the architect companies specifically, once this data is captured, there's derivatives off of it. So things like the topography of the earth, confill reporting and analysis of basically where you have too much land or dirt in one area and too few. And so how do you shift that? Doing line overlays. So as you start to pour the foundation of the building and all the pipes to make sure that the basically the work is in the right place. We detected an overpour of concrete that was quite a bit off in the before they started going vertical, right? And so the real dollars and cents become to take shape when you start to see the mistakes that are going to be found when a drone flies from that kind of vantage point, because it's the building is being built by a human being,
yeah.
And many of them, and in fact,
for now.
Make mistakes. For now, exactly. So the scenario starts to shift from being, imagery that helps us to understand how the project's going, to being a way where you are really dipping into the surveying and mapping, kind of trade, which is very important in the engineering industry as a whole. And so the scenario up until now and continues to be, if you ever drive past a construction site, you'll see the Lochta station, which is the tripod that gets dropped and you get the XY points. It takes a couple of weeks for you to capture all the X and Y, and you're doing it very haphazardly.
Yeah.
And then from there, you drive all the engineering reports. But when you fly a drone, you're able to capture millions of XYZ points and generate and send that data within 25 minutes, which is the mission flight.
Yeah, which is insane.
So what you're doing is a classic disruption, Netflix to Blockbuster, yeah. Where you're collecting data faster with more accuracy, and then for a fraction of the cost, and you're turning around the engineering grade reports on this plot of land within 48 hours versus 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And from there, the scenario begins to take shape on the impact, the drone impact in this case in construction. So they start to wake up and start to listen and realize we are very close to having a date where if you don't use drones on construction sites, for example, there's a cost to that because you're not minimizing waste and you're not minimizing redundancy.
And it's funny that I have to mention the fact that you mentioned Blockbuster, which the vast majority of listeners who are millennials or younger are like, I've never even heard of a Blockbuster. For those of you listening, before Netflix and everything else, let's go this way. If you've ever seen a Duluth trading in a strip mall, that probably used to be a Blockbuster. But anyway, you make a great analogy, and I want to lead to the next point because there's something you mentioned that I did not know about you, and I did not know about Uplift, which is the fact that you were born out of a construction project, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Walk us through a little bit of what that experience is like, because I think I mentioned this to our past guest, Dick Burke, that a lot of startup companies in Chicago, I think if we're going to be as successful and start maybe attracting the Amazons of the world, is that we are using the infrastructure we already have professionally and building upon it and bringing new expertise and new tech to it. You're doing just that. Walk us through a little bit about the process of a problem is discovered, a solution is being worked on one area of the world and one area of business, and then you guys bring Uplift out of this. How does that work?
That's right. So it's actually a really amazing story. And I am not an engineer, civil engineer, nor came from the drone world either. But what happened was, in the fall of 2015, I got a call from Treehouse, and they were basically incubating and seeding this idea. And it was born out of specifically Clayco, which is the private entity, the GC that is actually right here on 35 East Wacker, was essentially building the new in Schaumburg Zurich headquarters. Sorry,
yep. Yeah.
The Zurich headquarters out in Schaumburg back,
which is an unbelievable building.
So that is a Clayco building, and so you could just the complexity and the beauty of that building. Clayco wanted to use technology, right, and be able to do it differently. And Bob Clark, who is the CEO and founder of Clayco in general, is frustrated with the way that we continue to build buildings over the last 150 years hasn't changed, and the lack of technology adoption and construction. To your point, and so what happened was the head of their VDC team started flying a drone. This was pre Part 107, which meant that this was illegal because. They were, you know, you didn't have a certified licensed FAA pilot on staff, and so quickly their legal department, you know, shut it down and figured out that this would be a problem. And in fact, that individual went and got his license and started to fly. Now, Clayco was one of the first, if not the first, construction company that actually received their license to fly, and that's how it was born. Simply just that the internal visual design team inside, which is, you know, an internal team inside most large engineering companies, was just curious of getting a new data set to use in a lot of their 3D models, their BIM, and so forth. But they realized quickly how complex that is, because they're builders and they're not drone enthusiasts or none of that. And so from there, they saw the potential of possibly an idea. They're also not a technology service provider.
Sure.
The Zurich team also inquired about it because they saw a drone in the air, and they thought that they are using some external service provider, and asked if they could be connected. And in fact, it wasn't. It was just them flying the drone, kind of a fun and learn R&D mode. That triggered the idea.
That's a real good day when Zurich Insurance is asking you how you're doing
when
this.
When your client's asking you that, and if they could use it. So two different contexts here. You have a construction, and then you have an insurance. We'll stick with the construction. So that's how it started, simply by Clayco's internal team thinking, hey, let's use a drone on this flagship project. It was one of their largest projects back then. And then Bob Clark decided, hey, let's take this idea, spin it into Treehouse, his corporate venture arm, and, you know, put some money into it and see where it could go. And that's how I met them. You know, my name was provided to Treehouse as an individual from the entrepreneurial community with startup experience, you know, loves building brands and building businesses. And they knew they needed somebody from that world versus a civil engineer or an engineer within. And I, you know, had about 6 month due diligence conversation through my interviewing to I myself wanted to understand really the power of the drone. I found that it's been dubbed as the next internet era, its impact on society as you start to open up and understand things like, rescue missions, firefighters in California. All this past summer or last year, as all the different instances were happening, they were flying drones in distress situations with the fires and so forth. Even in healthcare, transport of stem cell research. So there's a ton broadcasted media, as you said. And so I started to see that it's a brand new economy. And the challenge becomes that first mile, and that's where we focus the company. I joined in July of 16. And so it came out of just one entity in a very old school kind of industry, a large industry, big chunk of the GDP, starting to think about how do we use drones on what at the time was a flagship project for them. Fast forward 18 months later, we're raising our Series A. We've built the company. We've wrote our million and made that. We are 10 people strong, 32 clients. So obviously, we start out just servicing Clayco, which is when I joined. It was only a two-person company when I joined. Now we're 10. We have 32 clients. We fly all over the country. And we're in our Series A right now.
Who would have thought that all of the future recruiters be hanging out at drone leagues, trying to scout for talent?
That's right. And then, I mean, just look at, there's all kinds of stuff. There's now, you know, the Sundance Film Festival has a huge drone platform, drone movies, drone racing. So from just a culture society, it has a huge impact. Generally, people think of drones, they'll think of the Amazon wildcard delivery. We are not that. We're not in the B2C space.
There's so many, I mean, like you said, it's another internet. There's so many things and so many applications. And Zurich Insurance is another great example. We don't need to get into that, but I think it's pretty clear what person could imagine what a drone can bring to an insurance company, particularly on a build.
Yeah, you're disrupting the adjuster.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
What's going to happen is the adjusters,
which we do well in Chicago. We got Snapsheet. We have a few other ones. We're doing okay in that space.
Right.
The last thing I kind of want to touch on with you is, you know, rather interesting to me. I've seen this several times. Even our past guest from Envoy Global is an example of this. Stuart Frankel from Narrative Science is another example of this, and I can go on and on and on, of entrepreneurs who had absolutely no, you know, major background in the companies that they now head. And they're, and you would ask like, oh, well, why would this company search you out to be the leader of this? And there's a certain set of skills, as like the Taken movie goes, they have a particular set of skills that are required in order to scale a great idea, particularly one that still has to prove its case. And I think that obviously you possess those skills. What about, I'll phrase this in two ways. The first way is, what about this project that you were asked to join, this company, was most attractive? And then what was the most daunting thing that you were like, wow, I don't know anything about this, but I'm going to have to learn?
Right. Number one, and it's a great question. Thank you for asking it. I either try to answer this question or just answer it myself for everything that I, you know, do as far as interviews. The number one thing that attracted me is I knew nothing about it.
Yep.
You know, you are humbled as a human being when you realize I'm going to put myself out there, my reputation. You know, entrepreneurship is a lifestyle, as you know. This doesn't turn on and off, right? And you're all in. So, and I knew nothing about it. Absolutely nothing, Scott. Nothing. And, you know, we naturally, as human beings, we don't do that. We like to go around what I've, you know, spent 15 years doing, what I have a degree in, anything of that sort, what I have interest in. And so naturally, that foreign eye effect isn't as acute when you are going to accept something where your reputation is on the line and so forth. So it gives you the greatest sense of absolute fearlessness that you need to figure it out. And that is what I have. Now, of course, if you look on my background, you know, 15 years in enterprise, large companies.
Yeah, you can see the application to the business at that level.
You know, 2 graduate degrees. This is my 4th startup, on and on. So from a practical operator point of view, yes, I've made something out of nothing and learned a lot of failures on other people's dime. So that's your insurance policy if you're recruiting.
It's a great hire.
It's a great hire. Right. But guess what? You're going to make a lot more mistakes. You're going to figure it out here. You're supposed to lead a team. To your point about having people believe in what, you know, people really still think drones, whatever. Are they going to see me in my underwear? This thing is not going to take off.
Yeah.
A lot of naysayers. And so it does require that you have to kind of be humbled and, you know, be in it for the long run. And sometimes when you're so close to the idea, you tune all that stuff out and you take things for granted. You drink your own Kool-Aid and you're separated from what your mission is, which is essentially to go, you know, and right now with our Series A, I've pitched over 300 investors across the country. And that's a lot of no's, essentially. Yeah. And you can't continue to go if you didn't, you know, have an absolute unbiased piece to it.
I'd venture to guess that one of the attractions for the hire of you is that also the fact that you don't have insider knowledge and predisposed biases to the business. So that's a huge perk. You made a comment about having to kind of get beat over the head by people who are naysaying. And I always liken successful entrepreneurs to improv. If you're familiar with like improv comedy, like it's yes and. I say yes and all day long. Everyone says this, like whether you like what I'm doing or you don't like what I'm doing, yes and. And I keep this conversation moving. And that's the key, because otherwise you get piled up and that's the end of it. Where can I send people who want to learn several things? One, bigger business, not necessarily big businesses, but enterprise clients, et cetera, who want to get involved in drone, where can they go to learn how to work with you guys? And then lastly, are you hiring? Are you growing? Like what are some of the traits that you are looking for?
Absolutely.
In the next member of your team?
Yeah. So we're about to post 10 positions, obviously driven by the funding. So please look us up, whether you are an enterprise or a company that is considering or has decided to have adopt drones in your business operations, or if you are someone seeking employment, UpliftDataPartners.com. You can find me at Suzanne@UpliftDataPartners.com.
That's dangerous.
It's all right. But we love to hear from everyone. We're right here in downtown. We recognize that we're unique and that we are, you know, in Chicago, as far as a lot of our competitors are out in California and in the West Coast. We're proud of that. You know, obviously, I'm very proud to be here in Chicago building this company in a new space. And we need to raise a profile and understanding even within our own community before necessarily just thinking about the rest of the country and the world.
What better place to learn those lessons than just a few miles from O'Hare Airport?
Yes, that's true.
Perfect. Yeah. Suzanne, thank you so much for taking the time and coming to the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Of course. You can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the Technori podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter @Technori, or you can follow me @Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.
Wait a minute, wait a turn, minute. On radio. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it, though. Play it, I hope you got in tune. Got he in talking tune. Bigger business. Bigger he make biz. A lot of moves. Lot of we talking Scott Catoon. I'm saying, wait a minute, wait turn, a minute. On turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it, though. Play it, I hope though. You got in tune. Right. He talking bigger business. Talkin' bigger he make business. A lot of moves. Lot of we talking Scott Catoon.